Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the International Black Summit Talk Show. I'm your host for this evening, Reverend Henrietta Byrd. Tonight we're going to talk about so many wonderful things that we have to celebrate. This is the first day of African American history or Black History Month. This is the first day of February 2009. This is the first Sunday of our February shows. And tonight our show is about mentoring. Mentoring. If you've ever mentored a person, if you've ever been mentored by someone, we would like for you to call in tonight and share those stories with us. We thought about mentoring because of so many different things, but one major recent event was President Obama's train ride that he took the Saturday before his inauguration. And that train went from Philadelphia to Delaware to Baltimore, into D.C. And it was a historic ride that had actually occurred years ago with Abraham Lincoln. He made the same choice to take the train to his inauguration. And President Obama thought that he would follow in his footsteps, so to say. So the question tonight becomes, who is your mentor? And what track of theirs are you following? Experts tell us that we should always find someone who is doing what we want to do and follow them, model them, research them, study them, do something that they are doing. Every financial expert, every motivational speaker, any transformation person always tells you, surround yourself with people who are doing the thing that you are working toward. Why is that so important is one of the questions that we're asking tonight. Why is that so important? Why was it so important for President Obama to take that train ride? You know, we talk often about consciousness. Often we talk about consciousness. And we want to make ourselves aware or conscious of what we are about at all times. And in thinking about mentoring or following a specific person or the way a person designed their life which we consider successful, we oftentimes will take a look at it. You know, one of the things that everybody's been looking at is President Obama's campaign and how organized it was and how they followed everything letter by letter. There were write-ups in most of the marketing magazines, and they had been chosen marketers of the year because they created a plan and they followed the plan to the T. It was noted that this campaign did not make any mistakes. And we want to take a look at that, in that it is Black History Month, and see what that means for us. You know, we hear another term that's we use often. People talk about prayer, and they talk about order my steps. That's a song everybody sings, you know, we church people, and it's also a scripture. And we want to know, you know, someone a dear friend of mine said to me, you know, I realized that in order for God to order your steps, you have to have steps for God to order. And so it's this plan. that we're talking about, this plan that is followed. Tonight we call it being on track. This is On Track with Reverend Henrietta Byrd for the International Black Summit talk show. And we want to know, what track are you following that you may have picked up from someone else? You may think that this is a track that you can follow. And what we want to know is this track taking you to your goals? Is it definitely the one that you want to be on? Is it a track that you just picked up because it worked for somebody else? Is it a track that you think will work for you because it's so similar to what you're doing? Or just, you know, tell us about why you're doing a particular thing and how it's working for you. Some questions came up when we were talking about this, and I'll take a look at them as we go on. First of all, it's like a mentor. You know, sometimes we might look at Abraham Lincoln as someone that President Obama looks at as a mentor. A mentor we'll define tonight as someone you know will help you grow. You know that this person will help you grow. And when we say that, that doesn't say that you will get along with this person, that you all are, you know, you all see the eye to eye on everything, but you know that this person will help you grow. And we also know that most growth occurs in when you bump up against things, you know, bump up against things. So that doesn't mean that this is going to be a smooth ride. It just means that this person will help you grow, maybe because they're challenging, maybe because they don't see eye to eye with you, maybe because in order for you to grow, you need someone to challenge you. A mentor. We'd like to hear from you exactly what a mentor is. What track are you following of theirs if you have a mentor? What track of theirs are you following? The questions for tonight are, have you begun the new year as intended? It's been 31 days. This is the 32nd day of the year. And at the beginning of the year, On Track asked you, what were your goals? What were the things that you intended this year? And every month, the first Sunday in the month, we're going to ask that question. Are you on track? Are you headed up the road of your goals? Are you headed up the road of your goals? Which means take a look at what's been going on for 32 days. Have you made progress? Have you picked up the phone and made that phone call to get the information that you need in order to move yourself to the next level? Have you inquired about things that you need to know? Have you asked questions to people who are in the business that you would like to be in or the business that you are in? Have you asked those pertinent questions, the ones that are in your head and you're not sure about them? Have you gone to somewhere and asked the questions? Have you looked up the information on the internet? You know, are you headed up the road of your goals? Are you headed in the direction of your goals? And I won't say the opposite. I'll just keep focusing on what On Track is about. And On Track is about taking a look, seeing where we're headed, noticing if we're going in the right direction. You know, when you travel a lot, there's something inside of you that always lets you know when you're going the wrong direction. And sometimes we'll listen to that still small voice that says, am I on the right road? Or are you going the right direction? Should you get off here? Should you pull over and check the map? you know, should you get off and take a rest, take a look? That's what we're asking you tonight. The first day of February 2009, the first day of African American History Month, are you headed up the road of your goals? Are you on track? This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Radio with your host for tonight, Reverend Henrietta Byrd. Another question that we ask is, are you following a plan that will not distract you? Are you following a plan that will not distract you? Well, what do I mean by that? You know, why would anything be a distraction? You know, how could I be following a plan that would be distracting? Because many times we start off with a particular plan only to find out that it needs to be adjusted. It's like getting on the expressway and you're headed toward a particular place, and you get there and there's a traffic jam, and you're supposed to be in a particular place at a certain time. And so you have to make the decision, are you going to sit in traffic or are you going to find another route? So when we say, are you following a plan that will not distract you, we want to know if your plan is going to get you stuck in traffic, so to speak. Are you going to be able to move forward, just continuously move forward? Now, we always know that there are pit stops that you have to make. There are what I call information exits, where you have to get off and do a little research so that you can get back on and move at a little faster pace, or get back on and move at a slower pace, whichever one the information exit lets you know to do. So we want to take some time to really think about, if we're following a plan that will not distract us, what does this mean? I mean, every question that's being asked here is being asked so that we as individuals can take a look at our goals. Just take a look at our goals and see what we're doing. 32nd day of the year, February 1st, what did we plan to do in the month of January? Did we complete it? Did we complete everything on our list? Are there some things that we're carrying over into February? And are those things that we're carrying over to February, are those things really things that need to be carried over, or are they excess baggage that we need to delete, scratch off our plan, and replace with something else? What track are you on? This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Radio with the Reverend Henrietta Byrd. As we move on into the month of February, there are other things that we want to be conscious of. We want to be conscious of our ability or our abilities. We want to be conscious of the things that distract us. We want to be conscious of the things that motivate us. We want to be conscious of the things the opportunities that are in front of us. We want to make sure that each and every opportunity we are aware of when we see it, and that we don't just overlook it because it's disguised in some form or fashion. So when I ask the questions, are we following a plan that will not distract us? Are we headed up the road of our goals? Have we begun the new year as intended? What we're doing is saying, look at this plan again. Take a look. 32 days. What have I done in the last 32 days? How many of my goals have I achieved, have I manifested? How many of them have I not even looked at? You know, and the ones that I haven't looked at, do I need to carry those over into February? Are those necessary goals? Are they reachable goals? Or were those things that just came to mind that I thought I might want to do, but not really? And the great part of this is that we get to change everything. That we get to change everything. We can adjust. We can move things around. Things that we have for the first quarter, we can move into the second quarter, or we can scratch them off the list because we might find that we really don't want to do it. We might just find that we really don't want to do it. And either way it goes, it has us look at what we're doing on a regular basis. So let's think about that for a moment, and I'll go over the questions one more time. Are you headed up the road of your goal? Have you begun the new year as intended? Are you following a plan that will not distract you? And the next one is, are you moving into who you know yourself to be? Are you moving into who you know yourself to be? You know, always over the holiday season, we seem to find out a lot about ourselves that we did not know. And if there's something about that new year that shifts us into what we don't want to do anymore, who we don't want to be anymore, who we don't want to be around anymore, what we are intending to do. There's something about New Year's that does that to us. Many of us have burning bowls, or we attend burning bowls where we get rid of the things, you know, where it's a practice, where we it's a symbolic practice, where we write down what we don't want and we put it in a fire and we burn it up. It's just a symbol of getting rid of these things that we no longer need. Now, everybody does it, whether or not they attend Burning Bowl or not. But everybody kind of does that. It's kind of like a cleansing that we go through within our consciousness. You know, we talk about cleaning out your subconscious mind on a regular basis so that we don't manifest things that we don't want, so that we can drop into our subconscious mind the things that we do want. And so that's kind of a burning bowl experience. Also, what we do at the beginning of the year is we make goals. You know, what are your goals or your New Year's resolutions, we used to call them? What are your intentions? You know, and there's a distinction there between goal and intention. And how do we take our intentions and manifest them? You know, just how do we do that? So one of the ways that we do this is we stay on track. And like I said, every first Sunday of every month, we check in. And the questions that we ask, have you begun the new year as intended? This is the 32nd day. Are you headed up the road of your goals? Are you following a plan that will not distract you? Are you moving into who you know yourself to be? And when I ask that question, I'm talking about the person that you've never been before, the one you've always thought about being, the one that you know is successful, that one inside of you that has been hidden in there forever because of this or because of that. And we've said we're getting rid of fear, we're getting rid of procrastination, you know, we're getting rid of all of these different things that we know have hindered us. And so are we moving into who we know ourselves to be? is another question. And the last question is, are we taking on our own personal accountabilities? And so those are some of the things that we would like to discuss tonight, February 1st, 2009, the 32nd day of the year, the first day of Black History Month, Super Bowl Day in the United States, and the day where all of the wonderful movies are on about African American history. We also want to talk about mentoring tonight. If you have a mentor, if you've ever mentored someone, because this is one of the ways that we stay on track. And this is Black Summit Radio with the Reverend Henrietta Byrd, and this show is called On Track. I have a caller, last four digits, 5124. You are on the air. Who's calling? Hello? Okay. Is there anyone there? Okay, we'll come
back. Hello?
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 Yes?
Yes, I'm calling in. I heard you explaining about mentoring. What do you mean by mentoring?
Well, when we talk about mentoring, we're talking about someone who you admire the way they've achieved their success. And so you might design your plan based on the plan that this individual used or this particular company used. It could be a company that you're modeling so that your company will be like that company, or it could be a person that you're modeling. So that's one way. The other one is, the other, when I say mentor, is if you've taken someone under your wing that you know you can help, your company can help, or you as an individual can help. The example that we gave earlier was President Obama taking the same train ride from Philadelphia into D.C. to the inauguration that Abraham Lincoln took. And that was the reason that he did it, because he wanted, you know, he looks at Lincoln at times as someone he thinks is successful, and he would like to do things in that particular way. So it has, you know, two or three different meanings when we say mentor.
Okay, so are you saying that a mentor is someone like the Boys and Girls Club of America, where someone comes and sits with you?
Yes.
And go over a project with you?
Mm-hmm. That is one way. That is one way of mentoring. The one that we're mostly talking about tonight is the because this program is On Track. That's the name of it. So we're trying to make sure that people are on track with their individual goals. So we're looking like for someone that they like. We as individuals might be mentoring to kind of keep us on the straight and narrow, for lack of a better term.
Okay. I know you have to go, but I had another question. One was you used the word modeling. What do you mean by modeling? Like power banks? What do you mean?
Like modeling, I mean, no, not like Tyra Banks, but model means that I like the design of this company. You know, like I love the way President Obama's marketing team. I love the way they put his campaign together. And so, if I wanted to reach the masses, I might look at that as a model, that campaign, his campaign.
Oh, okay.
And use it. You know, see how they designed everything, and model. After, you know, like model what I'm doing after it, whatever.
Oh, okay. I got it.
Whatever.
Thank you.
You are welcome. Hold on one moment. There's someone, the last four digits are 8801. You are on the air.
Well, hello. I'm enjoying listening to, you know, what I've been hearing thus far. And I have a question for you as far as, and you're talking about mentoring relationships and what that really means and how that can have an impact. What would you say, what kind of advice or thoughts, reflections can you offer when you find that you are in need of a mentor and that person doesn't seem to be around either in your organization where you work or in the organizations in which you volunteer or of service? You know, how can you kind of combat that and find that person where it seems like there isn't one?
Okay. Well, several things are suggestions. First of all, be clear about what you're looking for, okay? Because this, we come from a stance here that everything you need is provided for you.
Uh-huh.
And everybody that you need is right there.
Uh-huh.
And so many times we will look past what's, you know, right in front of us. So be clear about what it is that you're looking for. See if what you're looking for, like kind of define what it is that you feel you need.
Uh-huh.
You know, if it's in the form of a relationship, if it's a professional mentor that you're looking for, someone who can guide you in your career,
uh-huh.
if it's someone who can, a spiritual mentor,
uh-huh.
you know, define which, you know, kind of what area
uh-huh.
it's in first.
Uh-huh.
After you define, you know, after you kind of get clear on what you're looking for, then figure out why you feel you need a mentor.
Uh-huh.
Because so many times when you cannot find one, it is because you really don't need one in that particular area.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
That it's another area. You know, it might be another area. It might not be one at all.
Uh-huh.
It might be that you haven't really taken a look at your value.
Uh-huh.
And what
uh-huh.
you're looking for in someone else, might you may already have.
Uh-huh.
And so it's a matter of, you know, when you write it down that I'm looking for someone who can do A, B, C, D, and E,
uh-huh.
then you look and say, well, are these things that I do now?
Uh-huh.
Okay? When
uh-huh.
you identify it, and you might say, well, no, I can't. I can do A and B, but I can't do C, D, and
uh-huh.
E.
Uh-huh.
A, B, C, D, E.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
Then you can look for someone who can, you know, that. And you ask. You know,
uh-huh.
you simply ask the universe.
Uh-huh.
Provide this for me,
mm-hmm.
and let me know that you've provided it for me, so that
okay.
I know that it's you, you know, and then you go on about your business, and that person will show up.
Okay, okay, and I have a second question, if time permits.
Sure, go right ahead.
And it is related to, on a slightly different subject, but also, you know, still along the same vein of taking inventory is what I hear you saying,
mm-hmm.
of what your own strength, value, and talents are, so that as you ask, and knowing that the answer is there, that you already have a good assessment of what you already have in your tool chest
mm-hmm.
before you automatically assume that you're in need of something. Or someone, or what the case may be. When you might find yourself to be abundantly talented and brimming over with things that either you're interested in or you're proficient in or you can be an expert in, and are just at a point where you need you're turning a corner, if you will, and making that transformation, that metamorphosis into that next phase. What would be, you know, some tips on kind of trying to streamline and hone in on, you know, what those top, you know, kind of talents or strengths are? One of my favorite books that I've been working with professionally is Now Discover Your Strengths. And essentially what I always take away from it is that oftentimes in the workplace, we spend a lot of time trying to improve what is perceived to be weaknesses or areas of improvement. That becomes part of the kind of career lingo. You know, you're very good at X, Y, and Z, but here's an area that you need to work in. And that those are common conversations that you might have in a performance evaluation or a supervisory meeting with your manager. But the book suggests that, you know, what you already have to be successful, you already have. So focus on those things instead of focusing on the things, like you were saying earlier, the things that might be E, F, and G. Spend time on A, B, and C. Would you have some advice or some tips on how you can kind of narrow in or hone in on what's A, B, and C on your list if you, you know, are maybe lacking a little direction or the ability to discern, I guess, if you will?
Right. And you know, I agree with go with your strengths.
Mm-hmm.
I really do, because there are times when, you know, when you're going with your strengths, the so-called weaknesses show up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and they seem to hinder you.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, when you work through them,
mm-hmm.
when you work through them, mm-hmm. then they're handled.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Rather than to look at it as a confrontation or a failure, you work through it.
Mm-hmm.
And so the it becomes not just A, B. Now it's A, B, and C that you can add to your list.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I really do agree with the author when it comes
mm-hmm.
to that, because there are, you know, most successful businesses will tell you, or marketing classes will tell you, find a need and fill it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I was always taught you only have to do one thing well
mm-hmm.
to be an expert.
Mm-hmm.
Only one thing out of all the different things that there might be in one field.
Mm-hmm.
You only have to do one of those things well to be an expert.
Okay.
And
okay.
Many times what we do is we will take a look at the entire profession.
Yes. Yes.
And we want to do everything well in
yes.
the entire profession.
Yes.
And that takes a lifetime or two or three or four.
Yes, yes.
Okay? And
mm-hmm.
so that's why I say I really do like the way the author said that.
Mm-hmm.
If you just focus on one
mm-hmm.
thing you do well,
mm-hmm.
and you're an expert.
Right.
And after you're
right.
an expert, you know, then you're successful.
Right.
And so, you know, that's what I think. I think if you do that, then the CD, those things that you don't do as well,
right.
they will show up within what you are doing, and those will be things that either you can hire somebody to do,
right.
and you will learn through them,
mm-hmm.
or those are things that you might just not need.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You might just not need them because mm-hmm. you don't need to do everything. That's why schools became universities.
Right.
You know.
Right, right.
Or
right.
colleges. You know what I mean?
Right, so people could specialize
yes,
and not have to be everything.
In whatever it was, whatever it is that you wanted to do.
Exactly.
Okay.
Well, I thank you so very much.
You are welcome. But
okay.
You can hold on and listen in if you like.
I would love to.
Okay. So
thank you.
Hold on. I'd like to go to caller 4139. Last four numbers, 4139. You're on the air. Hello?
Hi, Henrietta. This is Glenn. How you doing?
Oh, hi, Glenn. How are you?
Good, good, good. I'm actually just listening in, and I was actually enjoying the conversation with your other caller.
Okay.
Around and the thing that I want to say about it is that you know, we each of us has our own special gift, and it really is about developing that gift. We're unique individuals, and what it is that we bring to the party is no one else can bring to the party.
Right. That's right.
And so, you know, it's to really know ourselves and develop ourselves and understand that that's, you know, that's what we bring.
That's what we bring. That's right. And it goes back to us, to our unique abilities. You know, we have those unique abilities. And so often, I think because, you know, they might not be unique to everyone, or, you know, we don't get to use them every day because we have all these other things to do, we kind of sometimes allow them to just fall by the wayside. But when we focus on our unique abilities, as they say, you know, work becomes play. And it's,
yes,
you know, it's real,
yes,
really, really comfortable for us. I did not ask the last caller, 8801, I didn't ask for your name, and you can share it if you like.
Sure, absolutely. This is Tanya.
This is Tanya, okay.
Yes.
So Tanya's on, Glenn is on. The caller, 5124, are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm here. Henrietta, this is Eric.
Eric, okay,
yes.
And we have a caller, last four digits, 1058. You are on the air. Thank you, Glenn.
You're welcome.
Hi, Henrietta, it's Clara.
Hi, Clara.
How are you?
Great.
I'm enjoying the show as well. And the previous caller was, one person was asking, you know, where do you go for, to find a mentor?
Mm-hmm.
And me, I find one of the greatest sources is the Word, you know, it's just the Bible. There's so much there that gives us direction about how to live our lives, how to have prosperity in our lives, how to have abundance and fulfillment and happiness. And also tend to, you know, seek out people if it's not really, really evident in my immediate surroundings. I'm reading this book called The Millionaires of Genesis.
Yeah, and yeah, we talked about that. I love that book.
Yeah, it is a wonderful book.
Mm-hmm.
And it talks about sometimes you have to get out of where you are. So one of the, actually he's a billionaire in Genesis, was Joseph, and he got thrown into slavery.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the principles that came out of that is, you know, not to complain. Like no matter what your situation is, it's all good because there's something that there's for you to learn in that situation. And then, but by, you know, getting sold into slavery, he saw something he'd never seen before because where he was from, all the people wore skins. You know, that was their clothing style. And the men had beards and hair and they didn't shave. And once he got thrown into slavery, he went into a whole other different land and people wore cloth. You know, the fabric was woven. The men were clean shaven. He learned different things. How to speak differently, how to interact differently than he had before based on a new situation. So sometimes you have to get out of the situation that you're in and go into new surroundings.
Right.
Like if you're aspiring to be somewhere else or at a different level, you have to associate yourself with people who are in that circle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you have to kind of get out of the circle that you're in and step out to a new place. And then the other principle out of Joseph's story, well, one was don't complain. The other was, you know, pay attention to where you are and learn the customs and the language and things. And as Henrietta was saying, things will kind of show up. So he got thrown in jail because he got falsely accused while he was where, you know, he was initially. And in jail, all the people who were in jail were people who worked for the king. And Joseph had the gift of dreams. So that's the other thing, is knowing what your talent is, knowing what your gift is that you have to give to other people.
Mm-hmm.
So, and to use your talent, you know, and to give it joyfully and things start to show up. But somebody told the king that he did dreams, and he did the king's dream. And out of that, he got out of jail.
That's right.
And he didn't complain about being in jail because he met those people there. And he became like the second in command to the king, and he, you know, learned his dream. And there were like 7 years of the king's dream was there's going to be 7 years of famine, of 7 years of plenty, and then 7 years of famine. And so during the 7 years of plenty, stored up, you know, he worked during that time. So that's the other principle, is just to continuously, you know, be working. But along the way, everybody that Joseph encountered was a mentor for him. You know, he didn't look down or look up on anybody. He just, in his circumstances, he paid attention to what was going on around him and acknowledged all the gifts of the journey that he was given. And I think, Henrietta, you and I were talking about the journey of the inauguration, the whole trip and the lessons that, you know, were learned along the way of the journey. And life is like that. Life is a journey. And we find that if you pay attention to the people around you and the things around you, there's always someone who's mentoring you. And it may not be in
and that's
the way always that we think what we need or what we want, but we're constantly being fed. We're constantly, you know, Spirit is constantly blessing us.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a really, really great book, and it points out things that sometimes aren't so obvious.
Right. Well, the wonderful thing about that story is it's right back to what we were discussing earlier, your unique ability. It was his unique ability that got him out of bondage or out of prison. And that's what gets us out of debt. That's what gets us out of any situation that we aren't comfortable with, our unique ability. When we start to focus on the gifts that we are given and start utilizing those gifts, then we can see our way out of whatever that uncomfortable situation is. That's why I like that story so much, because it does teach you that principle. It's like the story about the widow. What do you have in your house? You know, that story about the widow whose husband died and left her with all the debt, and she didn't have enough money to pay, so they were going to lock her up. And she goes and she asks, and, you know, and she's told, what do you have in your house? Which means your consciousness. What is it that you have to give? What is your unique ability? Okay, and all she had were these empty vials, like. And so she brought the empty vials. They were filled with precious oil. She was able to sell the oil, pay off the debt, and have a lot to share. So when we talk about On Track, and that's the name of our program, and this is the International Black Summit Talk Show, and we talk about being on track, we talk about taking a look at everything that we've planned. You know, this is, again, the 32nd day of the year, and we want to take a look to see if we are on track. You know, have we been working toward those goals as we intended? You know, when January, or I would say even before January, somewhere during the holiday, we decided next year we're going to do A, B, C, D, and E. Have we made it past A? You know, take a look, everybody. Just take a look. Have you begun the new year as intended? Are you headed up the road of your goals? Have you been distracted some way? And see, there's nothing wrong with distraction. It's like everything else. It comes to help you grow. But just know when you're being distracted and headed the opposite direction that you started off in. You know, just be conscious of that. You know, are you following a plan that will not distract you, or did you write distraction in your plan? See, a lot of times we put distraction in our plan. You know, when we say, well, if this happens, then we'll do that. So we give ourselves an out. You know. If this happens by such and such a date, then we'll do this. So we write distraction into our plan.
And I think that we are kind of taught, you know, if you will, by that group think, you know, that that's effective planning, that's something to be desired, that you are being thoughtful, you're being intentional about whether it's your career path or whatever goal setting when you are planning out all of these kind of contingencies, if you will. But that's a person. We value that in a lot of different places in our lives, that says you've got a plan E. What's your plan B? What's your plan, you know, that those are, we hear that all the time. Well, when that goes wrong, what's your next plan? What's your backup? And if a person doesn't have that, or if they don't seem to have the contingency plan or the long-term, you know, kind of, as you, I like the way that you refer to them as distractions, if you will. Mm-hmm. And there's a difference. There's a, certainly a difference between careful planning or goal setting and benchmarking and building in these distractions. And I don't think that's something that a lot of people really realize and really recognize that, you know, we may call it good business sense, but indeed those are the very things that might keep us from reaching our goals.
Right. That's right.
And I think that's a, that's an interesting perspective that I know myself I've never considered, but and I'm sure a lot of other people haven't either.
Well, you know, this is Glenn. One of the things to be clear about is when you have a vision, and when that vision is clear, and you've got some goals and tasks that you set up for this year to be on track. You know, that's the thing that I use for myself. Like I have a vision of where I'm going, and then there's some things, some goals, and some objectives that I have for this year. And so I have to keep clearing myself in terms of, is the action consistent and the goals that I've given myself consistent with the vision that I say?
Mm-hmm.
Because they change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I may get to a point where a particular action is now no longer valid or appropriate,
mm-hmm.
or you know, or I've done something to, you know, surpass that, and so I'm at a different point. So I have to keep, you know, part of being on track is to providing feedback,
mm-hmm.
so that, you know, and then the other thing that I wanted to add to that, T.D. Jakes has got this great. I think it's a couple of years old. But he's got this tape on visioning, and vision
mm-hmm.
work.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that, and it's about a five CD series, but the thing that he says about it that's so great when we talk about mentors, he says, one of the things he says, look, you know, you need to be in a group. And if you're the smartest one in the group, then you need to get a new group.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right.
Because you're not being stretched and pressed, because when you're dealing with a mentor,
right,
you want somebody who you respect,
right,
who's going to ask you to do something, and
right.
you're going to do whatever it takes to get it done.
Right.
And it's usually, you know, it may be experience, it may be whatever it is,
right,
but it's someone where you want to get to.
Right, right. And I think that's very valuable what you just said about getting the new group, because I was just talking with a colleague at work about this very subject, and she is part of a formalized mentoring program, and I was asking her to share what her experiences have been, both as a mentee and what she was hoping to kind of get out of it. And we, next thing you know, had entered into this, you know, very long but very beneficial conversation about this point that you're making right now, Glenn, about get a new group. And it was what kind of became evident is that the mentor-mentee relationship is one that is so powerful and so valuable. But the individuals who are involved in that relationship, both the mentor and the mentee, the mentor can be somebody really wonderful with a lot to offer in the context of one particular group, and in the context of another group, not necessarily be able to offer those same, you know, those same attributes just because of that context that they're in, you know. So you can see some really powerful strengths in an individual and what they have to offer if the environment, I guess, is fertile for that. You know, I think that it's often like looking at children, or, you know, you'll observe a child in a particular situation and, you know, they just seem to thrive. And then in another environment, you know, they're not as, you know, not as exuberant, not as vivacious, the same child. You know, but not necessarily the same fertile ground. You know, it's kind of like what we say about, you know, I don't know why the, you know, little Johnny acts that way with you. He never acts that way with me, you know. And you can find yourself both as a mentor and a mentee. You're like, I know that's the same person, but certainly the environment, because it's a symbiotic relationship between the individual and the environment that they're in, you know. So I think it was Carla, who, and I may have that wrong, the caller earlier, who was saying, Clara, I got all the letters right. Pardon me, Clara. But who was talking about, and I am familiar with the book of which she spoke, but I'm going to pick it back up again. And she was making the point about, you know, this is, Joseph is in the, basically at the right place at the right time, you know, so don't overlook that the visionaries that may be in your midst. That's so right. He may look like a slave in bondage, you know, but, you know, he turned out to be the dream weaver, if you will, for the people that he was around, you know, and then turned out to be that and more for the rest of, you know, of his life. So we are, you know, given that wonderful story of. So, you know, I think both of those kind of work together. What Glenn is saying about, you know, that mentor being, you know, situated where they need to be at the right time, and then what Clara's saying about, you know, not overlooking what's right in front of you and not to be, you know, kind of misguided or misled by what somebody might have going on the outside.
And I think, first of all, this is an International Black Summit Talk Show Radio on track with Henrietta Bird, and we have some wonderful people online with us. We have Eric, Clara, we have Tanya Glenn, and Karen joined us a few seconds ago. She's listening in.
Great.
But one of the things that I think is the unique abilities, you know, Joseph's unique ability was that he could interpret dreams. And he took that and he made it work for him. And so what I'm saying to us, all of us who are on this call, what are our unique abilities? And are we using those unique abilities to grow? Are we using what we've been given? And so, you know, I'm talking to myself. Okay, when I ask that question, you know, and are we, you know, when we are in the midst of something, doing something that we love to do, do we recognize it? You know, like, I just recognize how much I love doing this, what we're doing right now. And because I know, I feel right now like I felt when I was at the inauguration, standing in the crowd with the 1.8 million people, you know. Do we recognize what we love to do? Do we recognize our unique abilities? You know, do we even believe we have one or two or three? You know, do we really? Can I get you all to answer that question? Have you recognized your unique ability, and are you on track with them? Glenn, I'll start with you.
Yes, sir.
Say it again. Your phone is kind of going in and out.
Yeah. I'm actually going to call in on a different line. So I'm calling on a landline, so I'm going to call back in.
Okay, great.
So have somebody else
take
that question,
Clara,
please.
I'll move to you. Are you aware of your unique ability? Just one. You may have four or five, but are you aware of it?
Yeah, I think I am. I think... When I'm in my flow, I have the ability to see people's their needs.
Mm-hmm. So, what their needs? Is that what you said?
Yeah, what their needs are. So I've had people tell me over the course of my life that I said whatever that one perfect thing is that they needed to hear at that particular point in time,
uh-huh.
That, you know, something that I shared with them or something. And sometimes it's strangers. Sometimes I'll go up to strangers and just tell them things that are on my heart to say in conversation. So that's a gift, I think.
Okay.
That's a gift.
Or do you utilize it?
Yeah. When when spirit speaks to me, yes, I have to act.
Okay.
You know, and even if it's, like I said, it could be a stranger and it's outside of my comfort zone, I'll start up a conversation and I'll say what there is for me to say to that person. So it's a strange kind of gift, but it's just that, I guess it's, what would one call it, discernment. I have a certain discernment about things. You know, an intuitiveness, if you will.
Okay. Well, Tanya, what about you?
Sure. And that's a good question, and I'm going to pull apart a couple of pieces of it before I answer. You mentioned unique, which to me says standalone, one of a kind, unrepeatable. And then you said ability or gift. And when I try to put those two together, because I am a person that also believes that I have many talents and many gifts, but what I am right now trying to calibrate are those things that I feel are unique to me. And I'm at a point also in my career where I am being asked to hone in on that, package it, and market it. Because, you know, because I do have, I feel very gifted in this way. I have a wonderful gift to promote and sell. I have a wonderful gift of public speaking. I have a fantastic gift of being able to synthesize, organize information quickly. And I have a great ability to teach and nurture in a way that I think other people can appreciate. And so what I am trying to do now is package all of that together in such a way that I can present it as a unique gift that can be associated with me. You understand?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
I do. And so it's interesting. Clara's still on the line with us. And I wanted to it's interesting because it's like we've come full circle. We've come full circle now. Hold on. Let me put Glenn back in. Glenn?
Yes.
Okay. Tanya just gave us four of her unique abilities, four of them.
Excellent.
Okay, and what's so interesting about this, at the beginning of this call, Tanya stated, she asked questions, and they may not have been about her. She may have just been asking general questions about how you find a mentor, and I don't know if you were on at that particular time.
Yes, I was.
Okay, and so it's really interesting because, you know, there's this saying that, well, I created that you're either in learning mode or you're in teaching mode. Okay? And I'm suggesting that the reason you can't find a mentor is because you are the mentor.
And I can get right on board with that, and I will marry that with the same conversation I was having with a colleague, and she said that she had the opportunity to hear a speaker speak on this relationship not long ago. I think at a talk last month, and the speaker even went a step further and suggested that at all times you should be in both. And I was really challenged by that in a good way, you know, and said, aha, you know, in that you should be in learning mode and you can still be in teaching mode. And the thought was that you are modeling. I think one of your callers who may or may not still be on the line with us now was talking about modeling. You guys were having the joke about Tyra Banks. But you are modeling while at the same time you're visioning. So you are being a model for someone as a mentor, but you're having someone that you're looking at or a pattern that they've left behind or a legacy or a blueprint of some kind that you're looking at to where you are in the mentee role. So that was really powerful to me, too, because it took this other person to say, because I, you know, we were talking about this, and I said, you know, this is something I'm really, you know, kind of asking for and asking to be put into my life at this point. And they said something very similar. It's like, but Tanya, you're such a great teacher, and, you know, you don't even realize that you do so much for other people, you know. And And then that's when she made the you know, shared with me the comment from the speaker that she heard, is that, you know, the great thing is to be in both of those situations simultaneously, where, you know, always have this kind of balance, you know, where, you know, sometimes you're the mentor and sometimes you're the mentee. So it may be possible that the mentor in me is a little bit more dominant right now, you know, and the mentee in me is kind of, you know, just, you know, the secondary need, if you will.
And the other thing is, there are times in life,
mm-hmm.
you know, there are just times in life where we just have to talk to the Creator.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like there's no
mm-hmm.
body, there's not a person that we can talk to or hear from. You know, we can share with, but you know what I mean.
Yes.
I'm saying, you know, like
yes.
back in the day when they used to say, take your burdens to the Lord
yes.
and leave them there. You know,
yes.
sometimes that's what it is. You know, it's like in the meantime. You know,
right.
Donald wrote that book about in
right.
the meantime.
Right.
Where you've achieved all of these things, you've made the request, and you're waiting for the manifestation of the request. And sometimes it's just between you and the Creator. And the Creator is your mentor, your guide, your director, as they are all the time. It's just
mm-hmm.
there are those times when it appears that nobody else is around
mm-hmm.
that you have to listen carefully
mm-hmm.
to what that still small voice is saying to you. And that's always a good time. You know, that's always a good time. And I was trying to get Karen's attention to see if she was just listening in or if she wanted to join the conversation. But I wasn't able to catch her. Karen, are you still on? I guess not. But that's, you know, this has been just a wonderful, wonderful conversation. And a discussion, you know. Let me ask one other question of those of us who are here. If you've ever been a mentee, no. If you've ever had a mentor, you know, someone that kind of showed you the ropes, I'd like to hear about that. And I will start this one off because I had a very wonderful mentor when I went to beauty school, and I didn't even know it. I had no clue that this person was going to be a mentor. He was my teacher, and I went to a class, a chemical service class, and the first day they hand you out all of your supplies, and when, you know, he gives you a list, and you go down the list to make sure you have, like, your tint brushes and your, you know, all of the different things you need for chemical services. And on our list, it said relaxer. And he didn't give us the relaxer, so I raised my hand, you know. And I said, where's the relaxer? And the relaxer was one of those pieces of equipment or products that you got as you needed it. And I wanted my relaxer because that was the product I knew I could use right away. If I went home, I knew I would, you know, I could use it. And that was the one product that we did not get. And he said, you'll get it when you need it. I said, well, I need it. I need it. And then, you know, he went through the explanation. Well, long story short, he became my mentor. I became his assistant. And I was in that class for about 28 weeks, and I was only supposed to be in that class for 7. And my life changed because of that, you know, that gentleman. And because he, you know, didn't throw me out of class because I was making such a big deal over this relaxer, but I, he became someone that I listened to and that I respected and that I knew I would learn from. You know, that's the kind of mentor I'm talking about, someone that you latched on to, or maybe they grabbed a hold of you. that kind of changed your life around. Can you share?
Well, I will. This is Tanya speaking, and I did have an unsuspecting mentor in my life, much like your story, Henrietta, in that this was a supervisor, which a lot of times in a professional situation, your supervisor may or may not always be the best person to mentor you. And in a lot of formalized mentoring programs in companies, you're not even allowed to be mentored by your supervisor because there may be a conflict of interest. But I do believe that this person turned out for me and has continued to be not only the model of a manager and what I aspire to when I am in the situation of supervising employees, but also what I use as the benchmark when I am discussing this very kind of relationship. And the qualities that this individual had and possessed, which I would say would be critical for a successful mentor in being able to guide and empower his or her mentee, was that she was a good listener first. I don't know if she heard everything I said, but so she certainly gave the impression that she was listening, which was different to me because as I've gotten older, I now know the difference. It's different than just hearing the words and being able to parrot them back. Listening is something different than psychoanalyzing the person that you're listening to. Listening is even something different than hearing the words that are coming out of a person's mouth. But the person who is watching you listen to them, they can see the gears turning behind your eyes. So I now know that what effective listening is not any of those things. And because I have her as a benchmark, and I've seen other people talk with me and, you know, try to give the impression as though they're being an active listener because they've read a book or seen a presentation on what active listening is supposed to look like. But she was really engaged in that moment. I've seen that in very few people since. There are some really good politicians I've seen it in who behave as if they are right there with you at that moment, not trying to solve or fix your problem, but just for that moment, just being right there with you in the moment. So that was one characteristic that she had. The other was one, and I've used this word a couple of times, about being able to empower not only me but other people on her staff, in that she would wield the complete power of her office to put behind you so that you would be successful. And she definitely gave an impression that she was interested in helping you discover the things that she could do for you, with you, help you with, think through, brainstorm, so that you could come out on the other side victorious. So in my situation, since my work was directly related to her work, me being successful was related to her success, but I saw her do this with other people as well. So sometimes that was staying after work late to listen to someone. Sometimes that was giving them an extra boost of confidence in another area of their life that wasn't related to work, just so they could have a little extra spring in their step and a little extra twinkle in their eye to get the job done. So it was just this, in any way that she could, she would try to give you, you know, the tools to be successful. And then she was, you know, always very open with her criticisms as well as with her praise. Her critique was short, sweet, simple, concise, and to the point without laboring a point. And her praise was lavish, unadulterated, and genuine. So those were some great qualities, and I do still find myself trying to model that same kind of behavior, whether I feel it as though I'm in a formal mentor-mentee relationship or if I'm just talking with a person on, you know, on the subway train or, you know, next to me on the bus or in the car, you know, that it just doesn't matter. But those are qualities I try to offer other people as well.
That's great. That's really great. 5124. I see you call back in, and you are on the air, and we're talking.
Yes, I've come back in.
Say it again.
Yes, I'm back in.
Okay, great. We're talking about mentors. If you ever have one, and the, you know, the kind of the qualities about the mentor, or anything that you might be doing. The question that went out on the email is, what track are you on? You know, what track of theirs might you be following?
I don't know if you can hear me very well, but I'm not.
I can hear you. I can hear you.
Oh, great. Okay. Cool. My mother was my mentor. She was a manager at Great Lakes Naval Training Center in north of Chicago, and she was always on her game, always on her money, very specific, very direct, very upfront, but very, very, very pleasing, wonderful personality. But with her, it was always, how can you do more for yourself? How can you achieve more for yourself? How can you rise to a higher level without stepping on anybody's toes? So it was wonderful.
Mm. Okay. Yeah, that's wonderful to hear as a mother. You know, that's wonderful to hear.
Oh, it was great. You know, you get a figure back in late 60s, early 70s, an African-American woman who is in charge, managing, running an all-white establishment, that for her not to knuckle under or not to be sure of herself or to be have low self-esteem, there was none of that going on. There was she was there. I would sit in her office and, you know, she would answer the phone, give orders, you know, take orders. Her employees would come in her office. She would laugh and joke with them. You know, she would tell them what she needed to have done. Very assuring. And, I mean, you know, sitting there watching all that, you know, you can't help but down in life when people tell you you can't do something. Yes, you can. You know, I can look back and say, well, if my mother in the late 60s, early 70s was running this establishment, it's almost Barack Obama. Where he was, yes, I can, yes, we can. You know, regardless of someone else's doubts, it doesn't have to be your doubt. You can thank them for their concern and move on. So that's where I've come from on the whole thing about having a mentor. Just look toward my mother.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Glenn or Clara?
Yeah, well, I've had quite a few mentors in my life. I've had some good managers that I actually have modeled myself after as corporate managers. I've had some people around me, coaches, family members. But the thing that I want to point to in this conversation, I was getting into the mortgage business probably about 2 years ago, and I went to this event out in Long Island. It was a big sort of a regional event, and I live in New York, and went out to Long Island for this regional event, and there wasn't a lot of people of Black African descent there, and I saw two individuals, two African-American gentlemen. And I walked up to both of them at separate points in time. And what I did with them is I said, listen, I'm new to the field. I'm wondering what, you know, I don't know too much about it. Are there any tips or anything that you could actually provide me as someone new coming into the field? And both of those gentlemen stopped what they were, you know, stopped and spent. One gentleman spent about 20 minutes with me. The other gentleman spent about 5 minutes with me, but then set up a time to meet with him later. And we exchanged emails and had several interactions around that, what it was about was just reaching out to some other Black folks who are in the field,
mm-hmm.
That I didn't know, but yet reached out to, and in reaching out, they accepted me and open armed, gave me counseling, gave me some great ideas, some great tips. Here's some things that you should do, here's some things to look out for, and here's some of the kind of training that you wanted to do. And the other gentleman just was inspiring. He said, man, wow, you're doing that. That's great. You reminded me of myself. So it was a very uplifting way of being introduced into a particular field. I'm still in touch with both of the gentlemen.
That's great. That's great. Clara? And this is International Black Summit Talk Show Radio on track.
Yeah. I guess what I'd like to share about is inside of the International Black Summit, in terms of it being a place where people of call it like energy, mm-hmm. come together, and inside of that space, I've actually found a lot of people who have mentored me. You know, we get a lot of coaching inside of the International Black Summit space, both at the event and once the event is over. It's kind of a lifelong, or it has become, I should say, a lifelong relationship. And there have been specific people along my journey and my involvement in the International Black Summit that have really taken and shared things with me around different aspects of my life. And so I just want to give kudos to the summit, because out of the summit we have this talk show where we're able to kind of share things about ourselves and those things that we're passionate about with other people. And also, I think I haven't seen a space where everyone's all over the world, and we had some people recently who were going through some things, and they said, you know, they just put it out there, I need some feedback or assistance on this. Can someone call me? And boom. You know, you can't pay for that kind of coaching and that type of, you know, that kind of facilitation. And it's really genuine. I guess that's the thing that I really want to get. It's genuine. It is not I've never felt like it was self-serving. People do it out of love and out of compassion and out of true interest in what's going on with you and wanting you, you know, it's like we all want everyone to be their best and have the best. So that's kind of the space of the summit for me. And I see it as a mentoring organization, even though it's not, it's not branded that way.
Right. Yeah, I get that. You know, really, the summit really is, that is what the summit does. They definitely mentor, and that's not their conscious intention, I will say, but it occurs, you know. It just occurs. It's like in that space, it occurs. One of the questions I asked earlier was, if you are on a particular track now because you got it from someone else, and like Eric shared about his mother, you know, being his mentor, and, you know, it was like, yes, you can juggle three or four things, and you can have you can run a family, you can run a business, you can handle your employees, you can do it all, you know, like, the book says you can have it all. You can actually do it all. And an African-American woman, you know, we would like to acknowledge her, because this is the first day of Black History Month, you know. And so, Eric, if you would give her name so we can acknowledge her for...
her name is Evertis.
Evertis. Okay. Yeah. And so we would, you know, we would like to acknowledge her as being a mentor in the late 60s and early 70s, you know. And that's great, you know, acknowledgement to the International Black Summit and the people there, to the two gentlemen that Glenn was talking about, you know. And the,
right.
Pardon me?
No, it says right.
Okay, and the lady that Tanya spoke about, the gentleman, you know, that I mentioned earlier. And, you know, I was just thinking about we talked about focusing on our goals earlier. And we've had some wonderful mentors. All of us have probably had many. You know, we talked about one or two, or many in Clara's case. But I think, you know, today is such a wonderful day because there's so many things going on. And I was watching the Super Bowl because one of my mentors advised me, you know, if you have a talk show, you need to watch the Super Bowl. You know, that's just something. Somebody might ask the question about it. That was just some advice that I got, right, a couple of hours before. And I was thinking, I was watching with a friend of mine who came in, and I didn't even know who was playing, honestly. I didn't know who was playing. And a friend of mine came in and said, I want the black coach. I don't know who's playing, but I hear it's the black coach, and I want the black coach. I want his team to win, like that. And I thought, isn't that something? A black coach in the Super Bowl, first day of African-American history. We have an African-American president in the United States. You know,
Henrietta, excuse me. Don't forget, we also have the first RNC African-American chairman.
Oh, tell us more.
Pardon me?
Say some more about that.
Can you speak up?
The first African-American RNC chairman, still.
When you say RNC, are you talking about the Republican? What are you talking
Republican
about?
National, yes.
Right. Okay, that's what I wanted to make sure. The first African-American.
The first, yes.
Okay, to chair the Republican.
To chair the Republican, yes.
Okay. All right, any other first? That we can think of on the first day of February 2009. And so it's like, yes, we can. You know, yes, we can. We were, you know how everybody's been in these conversations about whether they thought they would ever see the day where in their lifetime where we would have an African American president. And a response I got from my daughter, who's one of the youth, you know, who came through the youth summit, was, yeah, why wouldn't we? You know, she said, "Mom, people keep asking that question, and I keep saying, why wouldn't we?" She said, "We do everything. We always have done everything. Why wouldn't we have an African-American president?" So, with that, I'd like to move into just thanking everyone so much for their contributions tonight. Eric, thank you so much for your share.
You.
Tanya's off, but thank you, Tanya. You know, and I'll give her a call back later and thank her for all of her contribution. And always, Clara and Glenn, thank you so much for being a part of the show. Just like to share that the International Black Summit event is in London, England this year, and you can go to blacksummit.org and find out everything you need to know about registration. It's in London, England. It's the first weekend in August, and I think it actually starts Thursday the 31st of July, I think, are the opening ceremonies for that, the 30th. July 30th is the date. So it's the 30th, 31st, August 1st, and 2nd this year, and that will be held in London, England. And, again, you can go to blacksummit.org and find out all the information, and please take a look at the Declaration of the International Black Summit. This is such a wonderful day, the first day of African-American history, which is key to the summit this month and also all over. So Next week, we'll be celebrating. And Chakesha, who is usually our host the second week, is in Belize. And so I'll be your host again next week, and we're celebrating just some great achievements. And our guest next week will be from one of the summit members who actually took his band to the inauguration, and we'll hear some interesting things about him. We've asked some other people that haven't confirmed yet to join us, but please, you know, listen in every chance you get. We're here the same time every Sunday night. Tuesday nights, Wealth Building with Glenn. Glenn, you've been listening to this evening, and his program. Glenn is at what time on Sunday? I mean on Tuesday, excuse me.
It's the second and the fourth Tuesday.
The second and the fourth Tuesday.
And it's from 6:30 to 8 p.m.
Eastern
6:30
time.
p.m. to 8 p.m.
Is that Eastern time?
That's Eastern time, correct.
6 to 8 or 6:30 to 8:30?
6:30.
Okay, 6:30
to 8 p.m.
To 8 p.m. Eastern time.
Eastern
the second
time.
And the fourth Tuesdays of every month. That's Wealth Building with Glenn. And Clara's show is the third week, and hers is You're Invited. And so, you know, tune in every week, because we always have the most wonderful conversations and really great guests and all of that. And so once again, thank you for tuning in to On Track with Henrietta Byrd. Good night.
Show Henrietta.